Let's pray. God, we open your word again. We thank you for your word, and we pray that we would stay awake, that we would stay attentive to what your Holy Spirit is teaching us as we study this passage of Scripture, and we would also look for how you are leading us to put it into practice and to encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a Christian, are there any Christians here today? Is there anything you lack? Anything you need? Oh, physically, yes. But in Christ, do you have everything you need for salvation and godliness? You say, well, if I just had this, then I would be the kind of Christian God wants me to be. If God were to just do this or answer this prayer, then if everybody else would straighten up, then I would be the kind of Christian I need. Here's the bottom line. And then if you want to go to sleep, Christ is enough. And that is the theme of the book of Colossians over and over and over. And we pick it up in verse 8 of chapter 2. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human wisdom, human tradition, and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. As you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. There are big questions that man has been asking since man has been around. The same questions that we don't change. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get to where I'm supposed to be going? And we come up with all kinds of different answers, but really the answers are the same. And man tries to answer those kind of questions. And notice in verse 8, no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive what? Philosophy. Now, the word philosophy comes from two Greek words, philo, which like Philadelphia, which means what? Love. And sophia, wisdom. So a philosopher is someone who loves wisdom. So who in the house today is a philosopher? Don't you love wisdom? You don't love stupidity. No. You don't want to stay in kindergarten. You love wisdom, do you not? So you are a philosopher. And we all have a worldview. You're a philosopher. You have a way of looking at things, don't you? Don't look so confused. Do you have a worldview? Yes, that's how you look at the world. What kind of glasses you put it on? As a Christian, your worldview is you put on the Scriptures and you look at the world and answer the questions according to God's wisdom, to God's Word. Now, the Greeks were really big in philosophy. And most of the Greek philosophers, I mean, if you mention the great philosophers, they're probably Greek. But most of them were wrong. And most philosophers, not you, of course, but the world's philosophers, always get it wrong. You know why they get it wrong? Because they look at the same questions that we might look at, but they always begin where? With man and not with God. Man is it. This is what I think. This is my way of thinking. We've got to figure it out. And who is God for? It's for you weaklings. You atheists will tell you, you Christians, you're just using God as a crutch. There is no God. We, man, is it. But if you start with man in your thinking, 100% of the time, you will be what? You will be wrong. And most philosophers, have you ever met a person who makes a living being a philosopher? Let's start over. Are you a philosopher? Do you think? Yes, you think. Correct? So you love wisdom. But most philosophers who we would think of philosophers are very depressed. And they're depressed because they can't come up with any answers. And if you're a great philosopher and you come up with an answer, the next philosopher comes along and says, hey, you got it all wrong. One philosopher said, man lives in this circle. Then another philosopher came along and said, your circle's wrong. They live in this circle. And you just keep going on down the line. If you base all of your thinking on what man thinks, you're going to be depressed. Why is man so rebellious against God? Paul tells us in the book of Romans, they exchanged the glory of God for images. Why is it that man would begin to worship a bird, a lion, an idol? Because man thinks that's a characteristic that we need to have to survive. Wise as a what? Hoot, hoot. Strong as a ox. Run as fast as a... Man thinks those are things we need to survive. And so I have those things. So let's find an animal that characterizes that and let's begin to make an idol out of that. And that leads to very depressing thoughts, because your thoughts don't mean to hurt your feelings, but your thoughts will mess you up if it begins with man. Now, the Colossians had some issues, and we've seen the issues over and over. And primarily, there were some false teachers in the church in Colossae, and they were attacking the deity of Christ. You see, that's where you have to begin. Who is God? Not who am I. Who is Christ? Not what do I think Christ is, but who is he? And they were attacking the deity of Christ. He is not God. Well, he's a little part of God, but he's not all of God. He's just a part of God. He's not enough. And so you need more than just Christ. And so, let's try our philosophy. How about superstition? Do you know any superstitious people? Do you know any people that believe in certain things and act on it for their life? Because I've always believed this. You know? Our tradition. We've always believed this. Because Christ is not enough. We begin to add things to the deity of Christ. And that is a damning lie from hell. And so our text this morning, the Apostle Paul attacks that philosophy, that way of thinking, head on. Really, two simple points today. You look tired. I'm tired. 2 points. Not a 5-point sermon today. 2 points. Philosophy is deficient. Christ is sufficient. That is it from our text today, and that is a big point. First of all, philosophy is deficient. Look again at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition. He says, see to it. The word there is look. Hey, wake up. Look at this. And it's present tense, which means always be looking. Don't say, I looked last week. That's enough. Always be looking at this. Watch out. We always need to be looking. Aware. Look out. Why? Because false teachers, do they just come and go, or are they always around? They're always present. In Acts chapter 20, Paul tells the Ephesian elders, he says, you watch out for savage wolves. That is not a compliment. They look good. They come in sheep's clothing. But what do they want to do? They want to devour the flock. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, he calls those false teachers, watch out for those dogs. Peter says in the last days there will be scoffers. People that will make fun of what you believe. So Paul is attacking that philosophy of the false teachers that Christ isn't enough. The way of man's way of thinking, he says, now notice verse 8. Take you captive. That's a word that's not used anywhere else in the New Testament, that phrase. It's a word that's made up of two words. The first word is booty. Not like shake your booty. Okay? It's like pirates carrying off booty. All right. And the other word is to carry off. And so it means to kidnap, carry off a person, to carry off property like a pirate, the spoils of war. What is Paul saying? Watch out that no one kidnaps you, that no one carries off your booty. It's hard to say that word and not laugh. I know. I'm not talking about your rear end. I'm talking about your goods. All right. But we understand what that means. And Paul's saying, you know, it's really unthinkable. Hey, come on, Christians. It is unthinkable that we who have been ransomed by the blood of Jesus, We have, haven't we? We who have been redeemed. It is unthinkable, Paul says, that we would be vulnerable and become prisoners again of the enemy. That we would let them kidnap us, carry us off, to be susceptible to false teaching. Why is it that Christians who know better believe a lot of garbage, become prey to a cult, are duped into lies? Don't let anyone carry off your booty. Look out. Now, it's our duty as church leaders. Over and over, church leaders are told, Acts chapter 20, you guard the flock. Hey, you elders, you stay awake and you guard the flock. And when there's false teaching coming in and wolves in sheep clothing, you warn the flock. You tell them. That is our job. Those who attack the flock so they can carry them off, kidnap them. How do false teachers try to kidnap us? He tells you. Emails. Oh, lies. And probably through emails, too. Well, he tells you right in verse 6. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Hollow, empty, deceptive, deceit, a trick, trickery, fraud. Those that want to kidnap you, false teachers, shocker, are not what they appear to be. They come to you and tell you they care about you. They want you to know the truth, their truth. They look good. They smell good. They tell you what you want to hear. Just remember this. Their promises are hollow. It's trickery. It's an illusion. They really want to kidnap you. It's an illusion. And it says there's two sources of this empty philosophy. Again, verse 8. Through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends upon two things. What is the first one? Human tradition, or tradition of men. Is tradition good or is tradition bad? It doesn't. Could be both. Do you have traditions? Are some of your traditions good? What are some of the traditions that you have? Do you open your Christmas presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning? It's the right way to do it Christmas morning, right? Until you marry someone whose tradition is to do it on Christmas Eve. You have traditions of what kind of clothes to wear to church, what kind of songs maybe you like at church. You like all kinds of traditions, good traditions. But what's wrong with tradition? Tradition becomes wrong when you make your tradition a criteria for salvation. You have to have the same traditions I do. Now, there are truths we have to believe. But do we have some traditions that can, just because we like to do them? Paul says, you watch out. They're trying to take you captive through empty, hollow, deceptive traditions of men. The word tradition used in Scripture means what's passed down from one generation to another. What's passed down from one person to another. I have traditions that are passed down to me from my parents. Where did they get them? Where did they get them? Where did they get them? Where did they come up with that? I have no idea. But it sounds good. It feels good. It makes me feel comfortable. But can I base my eternal life on the traditions of my fathers? Only if it jives with Scripture. Means what is passed down from one to another. Now mark this down. Just because people believe something is true does not make it true. Now, you say, of course, I understand that. But how many times have you said, well, I've always believed this? Have you ever looked behind their tradition to say, why do I believe this? Is this what God says or I just think this? You know, what are some traditions that we've always believed and lo and behold, they may not be true? What goes around comes around. Is that true? Don't walk under a ladder. Is that true? Well, I got to read my horoscope. Well, you know, I've always believed that professional truck drivers, any in the house today? There's a couple. Always have safe tires. True or false? I believe they always check their tires. And there wouldn't. Yesterday we were driving down the freeway between Tucson and the sign that says Fort Huachuca. Beautiful country. Speed limit 75. Everybody's passing you going. If you're going 75, everyone's passing you. I was trying to sleep. My wife's driving. Truck passed us. 18-wheeler. Right in front of us. Another car is passing the truck. They have safe tires, right? I've always believed that. All of a sudden, debris starts flying everywhere. The truck driver blew a front tire, driver's side front tire, 18-wheeler. He's swerving all over the road. The guy that just passed us is right beside him. All of a sudden, we see the steps of the truck's cab flying and hitting the guy that was passing us. His bumper goes in the air. He goes in the dirt, swerving around. And Pam's driving. She said, "You think I should stop, please?" Well, the truth is, she said, "I'm going to stop." And I said, "Yeah." So we get out, you know, and the truck driver's gone down the road. But then he pulls over because he can't drive anymore. Is it true that trucks always have safe tires? That idea can be blown in a moment. What about some of your traditions that you've always believed this is true? Is it empty? My turn. Is it empty and hollow? Carried away, trying to kidnap us. Something that's just because people have always believed it's true doesn't mean it's true. And it can be very religious, can it? Judaism of the first century, Paul's day, good example. There were so many customs and so many rituals and so many legalistic teachings that you couldn't even tell anymore if that's from God or if man made it up. And that's true in the church today. Be very careful what you say, what we've always believed. Make sure it jives with Scripture. And the Gentiles of Paul's day had their traditions, and so do you. Tradition is not bad, but it's bad if you add it to Christ or you replace Christ and His Word. Evolutionists, well, scientists have always believed. Really? I don't think so. Well, scientists say, which scientist? But if you say a lie enough, people start to believe it. And it's empty and it's hollow. And the second one, he says, they hollow, deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and what else? The basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. Basic principles of the world. You know, that's an interesting word. It refers to the ABCs. Do you remember learning your ABCs? Do you still have to you have to go back to school to remember them? Do you have written in your living room, A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Literally, it means things in a row, like the ABCs. And what Paul is saying here is that you think like the world. Elementary, basic. What does the world say? Do you answer the questions to your life, day to day, big questions, little questions? What does the world think about this? What does the world say? What is the philosophy of the world? And the world says that Christianity is too simplistic. That God would become a man and God would die. And if you put your faith in God, that you can have eternal life. The world says, well, hey, there's got to be more to it than that. That's too simplistic. And Paul is attacking that head on in this verse. He says, you know, that is I was going to say baloney, but you can't say that in church because it's not a tradition. He's saying, ridiculous. No. Really, to think like the world is to be in grade school. To think like the world is to be in grade school. And you Christians, you are too mature for that. You've passed the world's way of thinking. You now have the mind of Christ. And to abandon the truth of God's Word for empty, hollow philosophy of the world is like returning to kindergarten after you've earned a PhD. Anybody here have a PhD? Anybody ever went to school? Okay. Anybody have a degree? Went to college, maybe have a degree. Anybody ever have a high school diploma? You don't finish high school, get your diploma, and then start in kindergarten, do you? We've all said to think like the world, you have a PhD, you have the mind of Christ. Come on. You think like Christ. Would you want to go back to kindergarten? In Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, he puts it this way. He says, so also we, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Same idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Who is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And he goes on, he says, the foolishness of God, which God doesn't have any foolishness. But if you were to compare the weakest wisdom of God with the wisest man, who wins? God wins. He says, to go back to thinking like the world, don't be kidnapped by that. Don't answer the questions to your life, even the little daily decisions. What does the world think? Well, what does TV tell me? What does the internet say? Well, what does Oprah think? Answer the questions to life. What does God think? Because you don't need to go back to grade school. And no religion, no philosophy is new. People say, well, there's this new religion. Nah, there's no new religions. Nothing new under the sun. It's all the same old stuff. That man is most important. Work your salvation. So would you agree with me? Philosophy is what? Deficient. It doesn't answer all your questions. On the other hand, Christ is sufficient. Christ is enough. That's the theme of Colossians in verse 9. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That one little verse, verse 9, is perhaps the most definitive statement of who Christ is, of his deity in all of the Bible. Christ alone, he's it. So he alone is the rock of your salvation, is he not? He alone can offer forgiveness for your sin. He alone is the one who is mighty to save. Back in chapter 1, verse 19, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. Remember, the heresy to the Colossians was partly this. Jesus isn't enough. I mean, Jesus was a good guy. And he was partly God. And he showed up, and different showing ups of God are going to show up. And so here comes along this guy, and he's partly God, and this guy's partly God, and this guy's partly God. And so don't tell me Jesus is all God. That was their philosophy, their way of thinking. And Paul says, no. What does he say? Look at verse 9. He is not just a showing up of God. In Christ, he is not a part of God. He is not just some of God. He is all of God in bodily form. Verse 9 says he dwells or he lives.
It means to settle down. That means to be at home. Again, present tense. He's continually there. He's not just, it was for a little bit. He's God in bodily form. If you tell me, if I come to your house and you say, make yourself at home. Do you really mean that? Do you really want me to act at your house like I act at my house? You mean I can wear whatever I want in your living room? I can just go to your refrigerator and start grabbing stuff? You really want me to act like at home? I don't think you really mean that. But that's the idea behind the word. He is at home. He dwells in bodily form. Look at verse 9. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity. How much of the fullness? All of the deity settles down, is at home. And here's his point. God, Jesus, one, same. God, Jesus, in the flesh. And so you go on, and you have been given fullness of Christ, in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Christ is above what? Everything. All power and authority. So if I want to find the answers to my questions, where do I go? If I want to go to salvation and find salvation, where do I go? If I want to go, well, I'll go to this guy and this guy and this guy and I'll coexist? No. I go to Christ. In Him fully dwell. So what do you need? Your thoughts? Philosophy? Superstition? You know, that stuff even creeps in the church, doesn't it? Christ isn't enough. In Paul's day, it was the Gnostics, and we've heard a lot about the Gnostics, and they said, you know, spirit is good. What is spiritual is good. Yeah, you've heard that today. We're spiritual. What on earth does that mean? Really, if you go to 1 Corinthians, those of you that have been in men's group or ladies' Bible study, who is spiritual? Those who have the mind of Christ, who have the Holy Spirit. But we hear today, I am spiritual. And spiritual is always good, isn't it? According to the world's philosophy. I mean, a witch is spiritual. But the Gnostic of Paul's days, and they're still around, said, spirit is good. Matter, body, flesh, is that good or bad? It's bad. And so, what you do in the flesh, it doesn't matter. Because matter doesn't matter. As long as you're spiritual. Think that through, that philosophy. But here's how it ties into this scripture. Since spirit is good and flesh is bad, that it is unthinkable that God would take on human form. Now look again at verse 9. Paul says, let's make this very clear. It is God dwelling, that little phrase, in what kind of form? Bodily form. God became a man. So, verse 9 and 10. Because we are now in Christ, we have been filled with what? Fullness. Look at verse 9 and 10. And you, verse 10, have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Because you are in Christ, we are in Christ, you are now complete. You are now sufficient. Is Christ sufficient? Oh, yes. Can I hear yeah. Now's your time to say, Talk now. Yes. Are you sufficient? Wait. That's what he says. Because you are in Christ. Now, you don't always act sufficient. Yes. But you have everything you need because of Christ. You are complete in Christ because Christ is, and you were in Christ. Notice verse 9, he says, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in verse 10, he says, you have been given fullness. The root of those words is the same. Is Christ completely God? Have you been given completeness? Same root of the word there. In John chapter 1, verse 16. From the fullness of his grace. Same word. We have received one blessing after another. Christ is the fullness of God. And you have been given his fullness. Now, that does not mean that you are God or that you ever will be God. That's not what he's saying. But you have what you need. Christ is sufficient. Fallen man without Christ is in a very sad state of incompleteness. He is spiritually incompetent. He is totally out of fellowship with God. He is morally incompetent. He lives outside of God's will, God's word. He is mentally incompetent and morally incompetent. He does not know the truth. And he tries to fulfill and fill this completeness with what? Philosophy? My way of thinking. Traditions. Well, if we do this, then we'll get to heaven. Because my way of thinking. Or the world's thinking. But you are entirely different, aren't you? What happened when you came to Christ? Turn to Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life. Now, that's not talking about, well, I need a bologna sandwich this afternoon. That's not for real life. Eternal life and goodness and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. And through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Outside of Christ, you're incomplete. In Christ, you have been given completeness, fullness. Spiritually, do you have fellowship with God? That's a question. Yeah. You have full fellowship with God. Morally, you recognize the authority of God's will and God's word. Mentally, you know God's truth. You know reality. The world has no clue. Christ is sufficient. Therefore, he is head over it, everything, all rule and authority. So do you lack anything? Yes and no. If you're in Christ, you have everything you need for eternal life. You don't need philosophy of man. You don't need your traditions to save you. You don't need to listen to some cult leader. You have what you need in Christ. You are spiritually complete. Now here's the catch. Act like it. Live like it. Positionally, yes, I am complete in Christ, but I still act like the world a lot. Stop it. You have been given everything you need in Christ. You don't need to try philosophy. You don't need to try traditions of men, the world's thinking for daily living. What, you don't need the teaching of some cult leader or a false teacher. You need Christ. Everyone has a choice there. You can follow human wisdom or you can come to Christ. That's your choice. And to follow human wisdom, the world's way of thinking, is to be kidnapped by Satan and his agents into his false system. And where does it lead? Incomplete. To come to Christ is to come to the one and trust the one who alone offers completeness. May we never doubt the sufficiency of Christ by turning to anything or anyone else. the way the world thinks, deficient or sufficient? Deficient. Christ? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word today. May we trust Christ and Christ only for our life, for our godliness, for our eternal life, for the answers to the questions. May we only turn to you and not the wisdom or the tradition, the hollow and deceptive trickery of the world. Let us think wisely and not return to thinking like the world. You're enough, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.